The Apostle Peter, in Acts chapter 2, after all this great commotion had taken place with this great sound that the people in Jerusalem had heard, they all flocked together and wondering what had happened, and then Peter stands up to speak to them, and he starts talking to them, and he tells them that this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel, that it shall come to pass in the last days. And then he went on to talk about what had happened and all about Christ being crucified and so forth. And, of course, they had received the Holy Spirit, the apostles had. And he said that they were at that time living in the last days. Then again, the Hebrew writer in chapter 1 referred to the fact that they were living in the last days. Now, it sort of occurred to me that, well, if they were living in the last days over 2,000 years ago, that it must surely be that today we're living in the last of the last days. And I get to thinking about that. I wonder what's going to happen whenever we come to the end of these last days. If I'm understanding the Bible correct, and I believe I am, it describes these last days as a great climactic conclusion with the return of the Lord. The resurrection of the dead will take place. The final judgment will occur. And simultaneous with all of these events that's taking place on that last day will be the end of time. Time shall be no more. So today's lesson is sort of going to be a little bit of a preview of coming attractions. I'm sure you've been to the, as we used to call it when I was a little boy in the country, go to the picture show. You see, you know, a lot of these things where they're going to show something later on. It's coming attractions. Well, this lesson today is about coming attractions that everybody, everywhere, all around the world is going to see and witness. We're all going to be there. Dead or alive, we'll be there. Well, let's talk about that for the few minutes that we have together this morning. First of all, there is going to be the coming of Christ himself. The Apostle Paul in the Thessalonian letter said in chapter 4, he said that when all this happens, there's going to be a shout with the voice of the archangel, with a trumpet of God. And he goes on to say the dead in Christ is going to rise first, and then we which are alive and back here on earth still, that we're going to be caught up to meet him in the air. And so shall we ever be together with the Lord. Can you imagine a trumpet that can be so loud that all the way around on the other side of the earth in China, that those Chinese people hear it? All the way down into Australia at the bottom of the earth, they hear it. It's heard around the world as that trumpet of God sounds, and they hear that shout of the archangel of God. Well, what's it going to be like? Other than that, well, Jesus in Matthew chapter 24 really talks about two events. The first part of Matthew 24 talks about the idea of the destruction of Jerusalem that was later to come, which did happen in the 60s, by the way. And then in the latter part of Matthew, he talks about his own return again. And he said, it's going to be like it was in the days of Noah. Noah had been preaching to them that something's going to happen. There's going to be a big flood. And can you imagine how it was with these people? They were sitting around the table eating and drinking and talking, probably talking about that crazy preacher down there that talks about how we're going to have a great flood and he's building this great big old boat and so on and so forth. And they were eating and drinking, giving in marriage, just going on about their business until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And then Christ says they didn't know what was going to happen until the flood came and took them all away. And he says, that's how it's going to be at the coming of the Lord. He went on to say, therefore be ye ready, for you don't know the hour nor the day that the Son of Man is coming. Paul said again in Thessalonians chapter 5, he says, for yourselves know perfectly well that the day of the Lord is going to come as a thief in the night. People are going to be saying peace and safety, and then sudden destruction comes upon them, just like it would about the travail of a woman with child. And those who have done bad are not going to escape. He also goes on to say that whenever he comes, he's going to gather all of his elect together to go home to be with him. So what's it going to be like when he comes? Well, it's going to be a time when, you know, we're not thinking about it. No one will expect it. Did you, when you got up this morning to get ready to come to church, did you think, today might be the last day. The Lord might come today. No, you didn't think about that. I did because I was studying this lesson. But you didn't, did you? Did anybody, raise your hand if anybody thought about it this morning. No, we don't think about it. We really don't think very often about, well, it's going to happen today. Mighty pretty day. It's a good day for it to happen. No one will expect it. It's going to be just another ordinary day, but we must watch, for we know not the day nor the hour. You know, we've had a lot of, I guess you would say prognosticators, preachers in particular, that have sort of decided because of certain signs that the Lord's coming imminently, or they've even gone to the process of really getting it down to the very day, but it didn't happen. But let me tell you something. If we understand again what the Lord said, there's not going to be a sign beforehand. He says again to us in the book of Matthew chapter 24, it's at verse 30. He says that there will be a sign that appears in heaven. This is the sign you'll get. It appears in heaven. And he says, and then, when that sign appears, then they're going to see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Once the sign appears, it's too late because he's here already, coming in the clouds of heaven. You remember in Acts chapter 1, 40 days after Christ had been crucified, he's with the apostles at the Mount of Olives. And he's talking to them about various things that's going to happen. And one of the things he tells them that they need to go back to Jerusalem and tarry there. They were very close to Jerusalem already anyway. Go back and stay in Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high. And as he's talking with them, it says that Jesus began to ascend and the clouds carried him out of their vision. And I can just almost see those apostles as they're standing there, gazing up in the heavens looking, seeing if they can get that last look at him. Did you ever watch on TV rocket ships as they blasted off headed for the moon or somewhere in outer space, and you just sort of glue your face to the television and you watch as long as you can see, watching to see that spaceship finally disappear? Well, that's sort of the way the apostles are here. And all of a sudden there were two men that were standing there by them. They said, you men of Galilee, why are you standing here gazing up into the heavens? Because this Jesus whom you've seen go is going to return again in the clouds just as you have seen him go. Well, Paul again in 2 Thessalonians this time says, to your troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Have you ever thought, and I'm sure you've read these passages I just read to you, have you ever thought that it says that Jesus is coming back in the clouds, and then Paul says here, he's coming in flaming fire. How could that happen? Have you ever just stopped to think about how could he come in the clouds and come in flaming fire? I can't tell you that I know for sure how that's going to happen, but I think I have an idea of how it's going to happen. I sort of picture it like this. Do you know clouds in the sky? I'm sure you've looked up and said, boy, there's a dark cloud. Why is that cloud dark? Well, you know, clouds are made out of water vapor. And the more water vapor that gets in that cloud, the darker that cloud gets. And the darker that cloud gets, the more protons and electrons, electrical charges, both positive and negative, the more of those charges that get in that cloud. And sometimes those charges, often they do when they're dark like that, those charges get off balance. There's more of one than the other. And you know what happens? When that happens, there has to become a loud noise and you see lightning crash. And that lightning can sometimes come from inside the cloud because of that. And other times clouds can be close together and it goes from one cloud to the other. And sometimes it comes all the way to the ground. I can imagine when Jesus comes, it's going to be one of the greatest lightning shows that you've ever seen. When he comes, it's going to come from the clouds. He's going to be coming in the clouds, and the lightning is going to be crashing everywhere when he comes back. And every eye is going to see him. Yes, even those, John says in the Revelation letter, even those who pierced his side, those soldiers that thrust that spear into his side, they too are going to see him. And all the kindreds of earth are going to wail because of him. Folks, let me tell you something. It's impossible for us to live wrong and die right. That's why we've got to live right all the time. And along with all of these events that have been transpiring thus far and Christ coming back in the clouds in flaming fire, there's also going to be the resurrection again. We mentioned it briefly a while ago. There's going to be the resurrection of all the dead. Christ is going to call the dead out of the graves. Revelation chapter 20, verse 13, the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and Hades delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were all judged according to their works. All that are in the graves and the sea, wherever, all are going to hear his voice and come forth. Jesus, again, in speaking to John, said, the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and they shall come forth, they that have done good, watch it, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. You know, the Corinthians, when Paul was talking about the resurrection, they said, well, what kind of body are we going to come forth with? Well, Paul said, you know, it's sort of like plant life. A seed's got to die, and that seed that you plant, that's not the body that's going to come. You know how that is. You plant a grain of corn. You don't get a grain of corn. You get it on that stalk of corn. You know, what you see first is something that's not even like that seed of corn. It's a stalk of corn. which will eventually make an ear and produce another seed. But he said it's sort of like that. But Paul, I think he described it a little bit better when he was talking to the Philippians about what kind of body we're going to have. He said, you know, our conversation about heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, the Lord is going to change this vile body that it may be fashioned unto his glorious body according to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself. So what did he say? He said, our bodies are going to be like Christ's body. You remember when Christ came out of the grave, he was a resurrected body. And that resurrected body was not the same body that went into the grave. It was a different body. It was now a spiritual body, but even that spiritual body looked like Christ looked, because the disciples knew who he was. Now, some were a little bit surprised, like Mary Magdalene, for example. She didn't at first recognize him, but whenever he spoke, she recognized his voice. And you know, spirit bodies can somehow just appear and disappear. Like you remember I mentioned a while ago, while the apostles were standing looking up into heaven, all of a sudden two men were standing by. Who were those two men? Two angels sent from God to speak to these apostles. John described it again in 1 John chapter 3. He said, beloved, now we are the sons of God, but it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we do know this, that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now notice what Paul said about our resurrected body, though, back in 1 Corinthians 15. When he talked about this body that was going to come out of the grave, resurrected on this great day when Christ comes back, he says it's going to be an immortal body. It's one that is imperishable. It's incorruptible. It's indestructible. It is eternal. It will live forever. That new body that we're going to have on that day that Christ comes again, it'll be a brand new body that won't ever get sick again. It won't ever, if it's saved, it won't ever have any sorrow again. It's all over. And for those who have given themselves to the Lord, they will welcome this day. But for those who die unsaved, they haven't given their lives to Christ, they haven't been baptized into Christ and clothed themselves in so doing with Christ, ready to meet Christ when he comes again at that judgment day, those people will wish they could turn over in their graves and stay forever. But they can't do it. That body is coming out of the grave, and it's going to be united with that soul that left it when it died. And therefore, from then on, that body will live eternally, either with Christ or in torment. Paul talking to Felix after he was arrested by the Jews. He said to Felix, talking about the people who had arrested him, he said, they themselves also have a hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. And then the end of the world will come. Material things will pass away. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, Peter says, the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. You know, then those things that we've given ourselves to today, all the things that we may have amassed, whatever we've got, it won't matter anymore, because all of those things are going to pass into oblivion. Peter also continued to say, 2 Peter chapter 3, But the day of the Lord will come, again he uses Paul's statement, as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are in shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of the Lord, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to his promise look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Have you ever thought about that you're sitting on a ball of fire? Now, I'm not talking about these pews. But did you know that right down under us, it's a good piece down there, though, about somewhere in the neighborhood of 1,800 miles. Now, 1,800 miles is not quite the distance across the United States. And you know, our Earth, the circumference is 8,000 miles, I believe it is, if my figures are right. I may be wrong on that, but I think that's right. But about 1,800 miles down, there is a part of the Earth that's so hot that the rock down there has turned into magma, which is liquid rock. It's that hot down there. And down in the very core of the Earth is nothing except a big core of molten metals. And all that stuff down there is just seething every day. And you know, if you've looked at the island, the big island, you know, that has that Kilauea volcano on it. Have you ever seen that volcano as it's spewing out that lava, and it's sort of like a stream of water flowing down, and it's red hot smoking? It's because that magma has been pushed up and it finds a place to escape to get out of there. You know, all God would have to do is just open up the earth. It spews out everywhere and burns everything into oblivion. That day when he comes, it's going to all be over. Listen to what Jesus said that John heard in the Revelation letter. John's watching Jesus in heaven as he opens those seven seals in Revelation. And he's up to the sixth seal. And it says that John says, I beheld when he opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. How deep does that earthquake have to go for? And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair. And the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it's rolled together. And every mountain and island were moved out of their places. There is a great day coming, and it's going to be something great to behold. And then, along with all of that, there is the final judgment. Jesus again in Matthew chapter 25 says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and behold, him will be gathered all the nations, and he'll separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goat. Everybody's going to be there to be judged according to the deeds and the works done in their body. And it's going to be an individual judgment. And it's an appointment that you're going to make, and you can't miss it. The Hebrew writer said, it's appointed unto men. Watch this one word in there. It's important. It's appointed unto men once to die. Everybody is going to die. It doesn't matter if you're still living when Christ comes again. This mortal must put on immortality. How does it do that? This body has got to die to change into that immortal, imperishable body. So even if you're living when Christ comes again, you're going to die then. But you don't have to die but once. There's also a second death. That second death is eternal separation from God and the torments of eternal hell. But you don't have to die that death. You can escape that one. If you've put your faith in Christ and clothed yourself with Him, you won't have to worry about that. Paul says in the Roman letter, chapter 14, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess to God. You know those atheists that don't believe in God, they're going to be on their knees confessing to God. You know what? The one thing I'd love to be able to see. Old Xi Jinping, president of China, who sort of makes fun of God, makes fun of Americans believing in God. He'll be on his knees confessing at the day of judgment to receive his eternal destination. Every one of us will have to give an account to God. John says in chapter 12, verse 48, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words, Jesus' words, hath one that judgeth him. The word which I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. You know, your mother's religion, father's religion, wife's religion, it won't be enough for you. Because you got to give an account for yourself. According to your own works, you're going to be judged. It says that those books are going to be opened, and then the book of life, which is your life. And you'll be judged according to the things that are written in those books. And the books that he's talking about that are opened is the Bible itself. It's going to be there, and you're going to be judged by how you've lived according to this. If you haven't lived according to it, it's going to be bad. We must all, Paul said, appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may give an account for the things done in his body according to what he's done, good or bad, judged according to our deeds, our labor, our works. Blessed are they that die in the Lord, yea, that they may enter in through the gates into the city. And Paul said, those who do not obey judge themselves unworthy of eternal life. All the dead and the living will stand before God. Revelation 20, verse 12. John says, he saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. And folks, judgment will be final. This time the judge that you appear before will be the last judge. There won't be an appeals court. You can't go before an appeals court to try to get your venue changed. It's all over. It's a matter of whether you accepted Christ and obeyed Him. You've had the opportunity to obey back on earth. I wonder if there won't be people thinking, why didn't I do what I knew I ought to do? Why didn't I go ahead and get that done now? Not put it off. You're going to have a new body, but that won't be any comfort to you now, because that new body is going to live eternally in hell, torment. You know, if judgment were tonight, where would you be tomorrow? How far away is judgment? I'll tell you how far away it is. One heartbeat. You know, it doesn't matter about how old you are, how young you are. You're one heartbeat away from being gone. How ready are you to go? You know, I mentioned to you in a lesson way back yonder when I first started talking to you from up here about an old brother down in Florence, Alabama. His name was A.R. Hill. And he said to his Sunday school class one morning, "Folks, if I happen to fall over dead while I'm standing here talking to you, don't you worry about it, because I'll just have walked out of this room into a room full of angels." I want to ask you, how ready are you right now to walk out of here into a room full of angels? Oh, I know we think, it's not going to happen today. Don't worry about it. Frank, you're being too dramatic. Don't get me worried about that. Let me tell you something. You don't have the promise of tomorrow. You don't have the promise you'll get home in that four-wheel vehicle that you're going to ride home in, because you can go just a little piece down the road and all of a sudden you can find yourself in an accident that your next ride will be in an ambulance headed to the hospital. And so many times be pronounced dead. You know, if you haven't obeyed the gospel, now's the time to do it. Don't keep putting it off. Don't keep waiting. There is a great day coming, and it may be here soon.